this morning is our last Faith on Film sermon, and this week we're talking about the movie Planes, which came out on Friday. And the synopsis is: Dusty Crop Hopper, a small town crop dusting plane, dreams of competing as a high-flying air racer, but he has two problems. He isn't built for racing, and he, rather ironically, has a fear of heights. So he receives help from a seasoned aviator named Skipper Riley to take on the defending champ of the villainous racing circuit named Rip Slinger. Dusty's courage is really put to the test when he aims to reach heights he never thought possible, giving the world inspiration to soar. Doesn't it bring a tear to your eye just reading that? Oh, yeah. Well, I thought, you know, that storyline is pretty worn out. Like, I've seen that movie, I don't know, 400 times. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about hero and being a hero. And today we're going to look at a woman in Scripture who may not be considered a hero by many, but really is a hero and that we need to look at. And so if you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So Jesus did not want a competition between he and John. He didn't want there to be like, ooh, I'm John's disciple, ooh, I'm Jesus' disciple, who's better, who's better, who's got the best sound system, who's got the best special effects. He wanted it to be all about one thing and about bringing people to the Father. And so that's something that we need to be thinking about. We need to be, everything that we do needs to be turning back to the Father. Now in verse 4, it says, Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So Jesus was tired. He had had a rough day. He needed to sit down, not a cup of coffee, but a cup of water. Okay, we've all been to the end of a very long day. Okay, this is what Jesus had just come from, a big things happening. He's now coming. He just wants to rest. He just needs to rest. And then a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Now Jews and Samaritans didn't talk to each other. They were polar opposites when it came to, if there was a Jew on this side, the Samaritan would go on this side. Okay? They claimed different descendants. One claimed that they came from Abraham. The other started coming from Joseph. And they worshipped at different temples. They valued different scripture. And so they were total opposites, would not speak to one another. And not only is this a Samaritan that she's talking to, that Jesus is talking to, it's also a woman that he's talking to, which is another thing, that Jewish men did not talk to women, especially Samaritan women. And so Jesus is throwing all of this out the window, even though he's exhausted from his ministry to this point, he's still throwing out that stuff and talking to this woman, "Would you give me a drink?" He's breaking down those barriers of race and gender to reach out to this woman. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, and she addresses him as sir. She knows something's going on. She knows that this is a prophet or something. So she addresses him as sir. "You have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" So she's really thinking about physical water at this point. She really is thinking he's going to somehow get a drink out of this well. And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you catch what Jesus is offering her? Jesus is offering her eternal life, a water that will thirst, it will quench her thirst for all eternity. He's offering her a life of purpose, a life of love. And that's the same offer that he offers to each one of us. And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She's still thinking about water. She's not understanding what Jesus is really saying. And I don't think that if we were in the same situation as this Samaritan woman, that we would be much different. I see myself here, and I think probably thinking the same thing. You're talking about water. We're standing at a well. I'm putting two and two together. We're probably talking about water. But Jesus is talking about much more. And he told her in verse 16, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Jesus is lovingly calling out this situation and saying, not in a judgmental tone, like, "Why are you such a loser? Why are you hopping from man to man?" He's not putting judgment upon her, like many people would. He's not saying, "Because you're Samaritan, I won't talk to you." He's not saying, "Because you've had men trouble, I'm not going to talk to you." He's not saying, "Because you're a woman, I'm not going to talk to you." He calls her out and says, lovingly, "Go and call your husband back, and I know your situation, Samaritan lady. I know you. And you know what? I know what you've done in the past. I know the troubles that you've had with these men and with everything that's associated with that. And you know what? I'm still talking to you." Jesus knows your past. Jesus knows your present. And he's still offering you that living water. Regardless of anything else, Jesus still calls you to that living water. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And this goes back to that hatred that I was talking about between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that God seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Jesus is saying that these feuds that we have, the feuds between men and women and Jews and Samaritans, don't matter. When it comes right down to it, what matters is the relationship that you have with Jesus. And when we have that relationship with Jesus, we can then worship him in spirit and in truth. Regardless of what church you may belong to here on earth, we all worship him in spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in us when we become a follower of Christ. And the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." So she shows that even though she was having these issues in her life, she still knew enough to know that something was missing from her life. And something was missing from the way that she was living. And she knew that missing thing to be the Messiah, the coming Christ. And Jesus declared to her, "I who speak to you am he." Now guys, this is the first time in the Gospel of John that Jesus declares to anyone that he in fact is the Messiah. And who, if you had come as Jesus, as the Messiah, and you were going to announce to the world that you were the Messiah, how many of you would choose to go to a well by yourself with a stranger who you know has had a bad history, who you know is not a Jew, and you would tell her first? I don't think so. But that's what Jesus is saying, that in doing this, he is saying, you know what? My message of who I am, being Jesus' message, is so important to you that I am going to tell you, Samaritan woman, because you need to know me. You need to worship me in spirit and in truth. And I didn't come so that I could be hailed as king on earth. I didn't come for my own glory. I came to save people just like you. We can't miss how important this is. This announcement that Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. And he's revealing it to a Samaritan woman. Then, verse 27, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asks, what do you want, or why you are talking to her? Why are you talking to her? So the disciples realize that at this point in ministry, Jesus is going to throw everything they know out the window. And so they're showing a little restraint here. They're still thinking it, but they're not saying it out loud. Then, leaving the water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. This woman has a miraculous appointment here with Jesus. And what does she do? She is so excited that she goes back and she tells everyone in the town what has just happened. She had an encounter with the Messiah, with Jesus of Nazareth, who is God in the flesh. And she wants to tell people about it. When's the last time we were so excited about the fact that the Holy Spirit is living within us that we've gone to tell the whole town that God is living within us and that we've had a relationship and an experience with Jesus of Nazareth? When's the last time you told someone what your faith meant to you? When's the last time we really got excited about studying God's word or coming to church or serving? We don't have to be all uppity, uppity, uppity all the time. But we still need to have that passion. We still need to have the Spirit living within us, and we need to be connecting with God on a daily basis. Because when we're connecting with God, then that outflows into our life. And we can have that excitement to share God with others. Just think about your last week and how many times did you share your faith this past week? And now think about how many times could you have shared your faith? And before you say no, it couldn't happen, really start to think about it. Because there's probably at least a couple of times that you could have, maybe not, you know, laid out the whole plan of salvation for someone, but you could have just said an encouraging word or encouraged them somehow in a spiritual way. And I think that we need to remember this experience that the Samaritan woman had, because that's the experience that we claim to have had. If you are a believer in Jesus, you claim to have had an experience with Jesus. Yet are we out there telling the town about Jesus? Now, what's the result of this Samaritan woman? Skip down to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, so he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." When we have an experience with Jesus, and when we believe in Jesus, that experience needs to be outflowing through our life. And we need to stop and think about, and maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to stop thinking so much. I'm going to correct myself right there. Maybe we need to stop thinking about, how is this going to play out? What is this person going to think of me if I share my faith? Maybe we need to set aside those concerns about being called names or being thought of badly. And we need to just step out in faith and say, you know what? I know Jesus, and you need to know him too. Because that's what we say we believe. We believe that every single person on earth needs to hear the message of Jesus. Right? What are we doing about it? What are we doing when we see Samaritan women? There are people in Hays, Kansas, that have issues. And what do we do when we have people in our lives that have issues? Do we cross on the other side of the street like a Jew and a Samaritan would have? Or do we go up and talk to the person and have an encounter with that person? And say, you know what? Jesus loves you no matter what you've done in your past. No matter what you've done in your present, Jesus loves you. And because Jesus loves you, I love you by the power of Jesus. And guys, when we really stop and really get down to the nitty-gritty, what really matters is God's love. And God's love for each one of us. And those of us that know Jesus need to make sure that we're sharing that love with other people. And telling people about God. Telling people about this love. Telling people about this miraculous intervention that we've had with God. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him." If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, we're going to sing a song in a minute. And I want you to come forward to talk with me and to pray with me about how you might know Jesus. If you're here today and you feel like the Samaritan woman, you feel ostracized by your community and by your friends and by those that say you care about you, and you want prayer, come forward today during this invitation. And if you are feeling that maybe you have treated people like a Samaritan woman in the way that the other people, not like Jesus, have been treating them, and you've been judging people unfairly and unnecessarily, I'd ask that you come forward during this time of invitation just for prayer. Would you stand with me now as we pray? God, you are the God who was with that Samaritan woman at the well. And we know, God, that we can come to you and call out to you. And God, there's people here today that need to do that. And we all need to call out to you in some way or another. And I just ask, Lord, that you would touch our hearts by the power of your Spirit. Call us to action, Lord. Help us to reach out to those in need, and help us to be the kind of people that love every single person, regardless of their past, regardless of their differences, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hays Christian Church. Hays Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hays, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.